Good, turn to Revelation chapter 16, starting a new chapter tonight. Revelation chapter 16, and once again we see where we start a new chapter. It's just a continuation of the chapter before. And we're not going to, again, we're not going to get very far into the chapter, but this we'll read down through verse 3 because that would be the furthest we will be able to get tonight, and probably not get to verse 3 tonight, but we'll read through verse 3. I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. So we'll stop there for a moment. We're getting into the vial judgments, if you will. And we talked some about this last time with these chapter 15 refers to them also as the seven plagues. Same thing. But the vials contain the seven plagues, if you will. So people refer to it as the vial judgments more commonly than they do the plagues, but the vials are what holds the plagues. It's the container, if you will. We also see the last of the types of judgments, or the last of the three woes that we've talked about in the past. If you go back to chapter 8, verses 12 and 13, and the fourth angel sounded. This is in the beginning of the seventh seal. The fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. Is this where I want to be? Yes, it is. So as the third part of them that was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." He mentions three woes here, and in chapter 9, the very next chapter, verse 12, one woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. This first woe was, remember, the plague of the locusts that we described in the first part of chapter 9, verses 1 through 11. Chapter 11, verse 14, the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. This was the two witnesses, remember, and everything that revolved around them and happened after their death. And then, in the very next verse, you see the seventh angel sounds his trumpet. So the seventh trumpet has sounded. So the third woe takes place during the time of the seventh trumpet. Back to chapter 16. Well, first there was the seal judgment. If you go back to chapter 6, we're talking about the vial judgment. The seal judgments we had in chapter 6. You see the six seals that were opened. Or six of the seals were opened. There were seven seals. We saw those in chapter 6, 7, and 8. And then in chapter 8, you see the start of the trumpet judgments. And we went on, and we're now, like I said, in the seventh trumpet, the vial judgments, which start in chapter 16. And actually, I guess you could say they don't start in chapter 15, but you start seeing the description of them in chapter 15, and the beginning of them in chapter 15. John begins to talk about them then. This all happens, these vial judgments are going to take place during the seventh trumpet, towards the end of the tribulation. This is going to be where we begin our study tonight. And we will be here in this 16th chapter, probably for a few weeks, because there's a lot to cover. I don't know how much we'll cover each time. We'll see. I will say, just reading ahead, in the commentary that I've been using the most by E.G. Cook, when he gets into these vile judgments, he starts beginning to drift off into some things that I don't agree with as far as these are concerned. I don't believe, he doesn't say why. I don't know if I've missed something. I might have to go back and reread some things. But and I'll talk about that more next time, but there's some things that he begins to bring out that I don't see it in the scripture. And I'm not saying that he's wrong. Maybe I'm missing it. I'll go back and restudy it, but I'm not seeing what he saw in that. Verse 1, John says, And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels. So who is this voice? Well, if you remember back in chapter 15, verse 8, and the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. The great voice. If God's glory is what has filled the temple, it has to be the voice of God, does it not? It can be no other, I don't believe, at this point. And remember what I said in the beginning. This is a continuation of chapter 15. So it fits the narrative and it fits the context. Like I said, since it was coming out of the temple, and we saw in the last chapter where the smoke from the glory of God has filled the temple, then it would make sense that this is the voice of God. It's the only voice it could be. And remember, God's glory will fill the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels is fulfilled. He tells us that in the last verse of that chapter. Till the seven plagues of the seven angels are fulfilled, the smoke from his glory is going to fill. Now remember, we talked about that smoke last time. It was the smoke of his wrath. Whereas compared to the in the Old Testament, where you had the tabernacle and the temple, it was a cloud. His glory was personified as a cloud. Here it's smoke because it's his wrath. In their day, in the temple and the tabernacle, it was a cloud. It was his being pleased with what they had done because they had followed his instructions on building what he told them to build. And because he, at that point in time, had a place to come and dwell with man in the camp, or in the nation, depending on where you're at there. But remember now, the Holy Spirit is coming to us, his those of us who have been saved, and so he dwells with us individually, not in a temple. You know, a common phrase we use is we people say we come to the Lord's house to be with him, and that's a true statement. Don't misunderstand me. We have to be careful how we word it, though. This is not the only place that he meets with us. He can meet with us anywhere that we are because he's within us at all times. We come here for corporate worship with the congregation that we're a member of. the Lord's church, one of the Lord's churches. And so that's the reason for that. But there's going to come a day during the tribulation where God's going to remove His Holy Spirit's going to be removed from the earth. There's going to be people here, but any remembrance, any resemblance of anything in the earth that man would ever think of or could possibly think of as far as God is going to be removed. The Antichrist is going to see to that. And so we studied that a few chapters back, but I won't go back there tonight. But maybe when we get to our study on the Antichrist in another chapter or two, we'll discuss more about that. But also, this is the same seven angels we first saw in chapter 15, verse 1. And remember, John said, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. These plagues are going to contain the wrath of God. When they pour these vials out, the plagues out of these vials, it's going to be the wrath of God on the earth, on man, on wicked man of the earth. Remember in the Old Testament, and I think this is maybe a good example to throw in here, in the Old Testament in Egypt, when the Hebrew children, for the most part, they lived in a separate area of Egypt than the Egyptians themselves. They had been isolated. They had been, because they were slaves at the time. They did not live with the general population. But when the Lord came to them and prepared them for the Passover and told them how to put the blood on the doorpost and what to eat and all that whole ceremonial thing that went along with that. Remember when the death angel came, it affected the Egyptians, but not God's people, because he passed over them if they had followed what he told them to do. The faithful followed and did what he told them to do. Then you had the Egyptians who had no clue, because it wasn't for them. They lost their firstborn child that night. And in this case, we know from what we've read in chapters past, there are going to be God's chosen on the earth at this time. But remember, he hides them. He protects his people during that time. Remember, there were those who did not follow after the beast. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But there were those who did not follow after the beast and did not receive his mark, didn't receive the number, and didn't bow down to his idol and all his image and all that. So God has his people on the earth during that day. They're saved, but they're also protected. Now, they're going to be persecuted to a point by the people of the wicked on the earth at that day. And we saw that, I don't know if it was last time or the time before. But as far as when these plagues hit, they're not going to be involved in the plagues. Remember, God doesn't bring his wrath on his children. He brings his wrath on his enemies. Now, we suffer chastisement. And the chastisement he may bring on us may involve death. He may take us out if it's our time. If we've done something so much against him that he's done with us, he may choose to take us out because of his chastisement. And it may be a long, grueling death. I'm sure all of us have heard, at least, or may even know, those that we feel for certain were God's children that died a very gruesome death. That happens. Sometimes it's the Lord's chastisement upon them. Sometimes it's not. We have to be careful about that too, because sometimes it could be a witness for someone in their family that's not saved, that the Lord has intentions to save, and that the Lord will save. Now, the great voice commands these angels to go and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Only one has the authority to give such a command. That's another reason I say that this voice is God Himself, because only God can give this command. And with it coming out of the temples, with his smoke filling the temple, it says, tells us that there's, it says no man was able to enter into the temple. Now we know from what we saw that these seven angels flew out of the temple, but that's before the smoke is mentioned. So I don't know if they came out before his smoke filled the temple, or if they came out from the smoke. It doesn't really tell us, but they had been in the temple itself and had gotten their marching orders, if you will. They had received the vials containing the seven plagues from the Lord Himself, from God Himself. Now, verse 2, "And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image." We see a little bit more about what's going to happen. So those who have taken the mark of the beast and who have worshipped his image, he says there's going to be a noisome and grievous sore fall upon them. Some type of illness. Some type of, he says a sore. So some type of, whether it's boils or, you know, I've heard all my life people talk about it. It's going to be boils, or it's going to be, some say, I remember when the AIDS virus first came out, people were saying, this is what he's talking about. This is the plague of the first plague. And of course we know now whether that's it when the plague comes, we don't know. But anything that's going on right now is not this plague, okay? Because we're not in that time yet. So that this is future. This is after we're already gone. Way after we're already gone, actually. So this happens towards the end of the tribulation. This